Football fans tend to follow their favorite teams through thick and thin, wins and losses, often for a lifetime. Fans like Dwight Claiborne in Baltimore.
But I was 7 years old liking the Pittsburgh Steelers from Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green, Lambert, Swan, Stallworth. I just loved the whole team. So I've been fascinated with football since.
But even by NFL standards, this past offseason was a rough one for some fans to weather as the league lurched from crisis to crisis. Let's take through a few.
Yeah, former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores filed a lawsuit accusing the league of racist hiring practices.
Multiple investigations are going on into Washington Commanders and team owner Dan Snyder related to how the team and the NFL handled allegations of sexual harassment of the team's female employees.
And some of the NFL's biggest stars have also sparked scandal, including Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, who was suspended for the first 11 games of the season and fined $5 million. After more than 20 women accused him of sexual assault and misconduct during massage sessions.
In spite of it all, the NFL remains as popular as ever. But some fans do struggle with supporting the league. Fans like Michelle Webster, a Seattle Seahawks fan here in Washington, D.C.
There's a lot as a feminist. Like, it's really hard for me to watch these men get slaps on the wrists for assault and other offenses against women. It's really disappointing, but at the same time, I've tried to give up the league and I've tried to not watch, and I don't know, I miss my team and I miss that aspect of my life, and so I struggle with it a lot.
Kevin Draper is a sports business reporter for the New York Times who recently wrote about this. Our co-host Juana Summers talked with him earlier about why so many fans just can't quit the NFL.
I think the fact is football is an incredible sport to watch. There's a reason that millions of people, tens of millions of people do it each week, that they build their calendars, they build their Sundays around it, and they love the thing. And to get somebody to give up something they would love, I think takes a lot. And from what we've seen, kind of whatever scandals or problems the NFL might have, they aren't big enough to get substantial numbers of people to give that up.
One thing that I found interesting, both as a fan and as someone who has followed the league for a number of years and as a journalist, is the fact that the league has been making these overt plays to grow its support among women fans, trying to bring all of us into the fold more. But as you point out with some recent examples, and there's a lot of history here, the league does not always have a good record when it comes to dealing with domestic violence, sexual assault, and other mistreatment of women. Does that complicate their desire to grow the audience?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. Over the last decade especially, the NFL has made sort of a much stronger push to attract female fans. The league sort of sees that the opportunities for growth with men are not nearly as big as the opportunities for growth with women. And so it went from the traditional, we call it pinking and shrinking, of offering a pink jersey for sale, thinking that that's what NFL fans want, and instead kind of having a much more robust offering and treating women who are fans or potential fans as, kind of real people and not just somebody who wants to buy something pink. I would hope that accusations of sexual assault or a league turning a blind eye to sexual misconduct would trouble all fans, whether men or women. But yeah. I think it's undeniable that it does trouble women more and that it is a hurdle the league has to overcome to sort of show these women that something that is presumably a large concern of theirs is something that the league takes seriously.
And you mentioned something else persistent in the league, too, the dearth of black coaches in a league where the majority of players are black. The league has also struggled with how to handle social justice movements and the movement for racial justice in recent years. Have you had any opportunity to talk to fans about how they square those sorts of issues?
I got to be honest here. I have not had too many conversations with fans how they square those. But I do think there's sort of maybe an overarching point to be made, which is that in this specific issue and a lot of other issues, The NFL is not so different from Congress, from other corporations, from maybe even other sports leagues, places where sexual misconduct isn't taken as seriously as it should, or where black people face, you know, worse opportunities or aren't given the opportunities that their white colleagues are. And so one of the things I think with changing your NFL fandom based upon these things is it sort of opens up questions of what else should you be changing, and how, as a fan, do you navigate a world in which these biases persist in numerous venues, not just football?
Things are great for the NFL right now. As you point out, viewership remains high. It is a sport that is a collective language for many fans who sit in front of their TV on Sundays all day or at a sports bar. But as you point out in your piece, the future could be murky depending on how many fans stick around. High school football participation dropped by 10% between the years 2008 and 2018. And people, as I understand, like I did, often become fans when they are kids, whether they're watching football on TV or playing themselves. So I guess I'm curious, do you think we're seeing the start of a trend that could impact the league a decade or two from now?
Yeah, I think it's undoubtable we're seeing a trend. If you talk to anybody involved in any sort of professional sports, they'll all tell you the key is to get people when they are young. And so the NFL sort of losing players, fewer high school players, more parents concerned about concussions, I think it does a few things. One, it makes football players sort of a specific demographic. And so you see this with boxing, where boxing is a fairly dangerous sport. And while there certainly are boxers who come from middle class or upper class backgrounds, there aren't too many of them. And so you're starting to see this with football, with upper class parents, parents who tend to live on the coasts. They tend to not let their kids play football at a higher rate than parents in other places. And so you both have an issue of fewer people playing, and so maybe fewer kids becoming lifelong fans, but it also sort of worsens the pool of players that high school football, college football, and eventually the NFL draws from. And if more of America's best athletes are going to play other sports, the NFL will not be as popular if, you know, it's populated by worse athletes.
You think about the NFL now and all of the challenges and opportunities that you've reported on and that we've been discussing. How do you feel about it? Are you bullish about the league's future?
Yeah, certainly in the medium term. In the long term, it's really hard to say. If we look back 50 years at the American sports landscape, it looked radically different than it does today. But there's just little evidence that in the near to medium term, much is going to change for the NFL. They've got these contracts that go for a decade in their media rights deals that guarantee them money. They're still filling up stadiums. They're still filling up sports bars and couches. And so, at least from a business and economic perspective, there's not much I see on the immediate horizon that will do much to dent the NFL's popularity.
We've been talking with Kevin Draper of the New York Times. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.